see if we can. Not gonna get there, but so I guess maybe we can get started at 9:35. Is Cindy, are you ready to go over procedures? All right. So anyone, good morning, everyone. I really appreciate you all being here. I know this is very busy times and, you know, we want to be respectful of your time. So we'll go ahead and get started. And I guess Cindy will go over our procedure since we are not at quorum. Cindy.
Cindy Figueroa. I am joining you all from the State Water Resources Control Board. I primarily work in the recycled water unit, but I am helping fill in for Caitlin for the next few months. We are grateful to have the Delray Yacht Club host us and have audiovisual support from AGP staff. Restrooms are located down the hall to the left. Help yourselves to some refreshments and bagels in the back of the room. If you need Wi-Fi, the network and password are DRYC_clubhouse. The password is Palawan1108. This meeting is in a hybrid format in which members and the public are participating both remotely and in person. For remote participants, if you need technical support connecting to or using the Zoom meeting platform, please email it@agpvideo.com. This email is also listed on the meeting agenda if you need to reference it. Now I will provide some information on how public participation will be organized for today's meeting. You must be in the room or on Zoom to make public comment. Members of the public may request a comment in the following ways. If you are in person, please fill out a speaker card located at the back table and give it to me. If you're participating via Zoom, you can raise your hand virtually when we reach the item under which you'd like to speak. The raise hand function is at the bottom of the screen. If you're calling in over phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. This meeting is being recorded and live streamed, so we ask that you please speak clearly. Please remember to turn on your microphone when you speak and turn it off when you finish speaking. That concludes the overview of meeting logistics. Chair, I recommend we move to member roll call for attendance and introductions. I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. And when I call you, please introduce yourself and state your affiliation.
Thank you, Cindy. Okay, go ahead. Please do roll call.
Okay. Again, this is my first time here, so if I make any mistakes with pronunciation, please correct me, and I will be glad to remember it for any future occasion. So starting from the top, we have Sabrina Ashajan attending remote.
Hi, yes, I'm here. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Great to be here, and thank you for accommodating me virtually.
No problem. Thank you. Next, we have Marcela Benavides attending remote.
Hi, I'm here on behalf of Director Pastrella for LA County Flood Control District.
Welcome.
Thank you.
We have Cody Bridges attending in person.
Here on behalf of Assemblymember Al Marzucci.
Perfect. Thank you. Jacob Berman attending in person.
Present on behalf of that working. Yeah? Okay, yes. Cool. President, on behalf of LA City Councilwoman Tracy Park.
Perfect. Thank you. We have Andy Koradeshi attending remote. Perfect. Okay. We have Laura Doss-Hertz attending in person.
Hi. I'm Vice President of the Board of the Bay Foundation.
Perfect. Thank you. Tom Ford attending in person.
Present.
Thank you. Do we have Dean Francois attending in person?
Yes. Perfect. Dean Francois, I'm council member, City of Hermosa Beach, representing the South Bay Cities.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Gloria Gray attending remote? Perfect. Tracy Lovrick attending in person?
Tracy Leverick from the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. We have Annalisa Moe attending in person.
Yes, Annalisa Moe here from representing Heal the Bay.
Thank you. Jenny Newman attending in person.
Present, representing Cali PA Secretary Neymark, Deputy Secretary Neymark, or excuse me, Secretary Garcia. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Warren Ontiveros, attending in person.
Yes, present here representing LA County Beaches and Harbors on behalf of Director Gary Jones.
Thank you. John Oda, attending in person.
Present, representing State Parks, Angeles District.
Perfect. We have Michelle Persoff attending in person.
Present on behalf of Assemblymember Isaac Bryan.
Perfect. Thank you. Lauren Pizer-Mainz, present in person.
Present, attending on behalf of Senator Ben Allen.
Thank you. Michael Quill, present in person.
Present, LA Waterkeeper.
Thank you. Susie Santanella, present in person.
Good morning, Susie Santolina, representing Director Barbara Romero from LA San.
Good morning. And Martha Tremblay, present in person.
Good morning, Martha Tremblay, LA County Sanitation Districts.
Okay, and then we have Laura Wardrip.
Present, representing the State Water Resources Control Board on behalf of Karen Mogus.
And do we have Erica Yelensky attending remote?
Yes, good morning, everyone. Erica Yelensky with USEPA. Good to see you all.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. Is there anyone that I missed? Perfect. That'll be all for roll call. I recommend to the chair that we move on to item one.
And just to note, did we reach quorum or not? No quorum?
We have not reached quorum. We need 15 voting members in person to achieve quorum. We have 12 voting members present today.
Okay, so Eric, are there any instructions for us in light that we don't have quorum?
Yes, good morning. Because we don't have quorum, we'll have to table the action items for this meeting. 3A, consideration of approval of the June minutes, and consideration of adoption of a resolution regarding amending the conflict of interest code. Oh, sorry. So we'll agendize those for a future meeting.
Okay, thank you. And then, so besides that, then we can proceed because the remaining items are information items, right?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, so with that, we can move on to item one, comments from members of the public on items not on the agenda. Luke, Cindy, do we have any public comment?
Yes, we have four requests for public comment under item one. And if they did not specify an item to be placed under, I have placed them under item one.
Okay, so these are for public comment on items that are not on the agenda. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with, I think in light of the number of public comment for other items, we talked about 3 minutes per speaker. So if we can proceed with that, that would be great.
Perfect. The first individual we have listed for request for public comment is Robert Roy Vandehoek.
I do not see Roy Vandehoek in the meeting. I recommend moving on to the next speaker.
Thank you. The next speaker is Phoebe Schramm.
I also do not see Phoebe in the attendees lists.
Thank you. The next speaker is Marcia Hansen. Marcia Hansen. Thank you.
Honorable board members and staff.
Can, Can you turn on your microphone?
Yeah, honorable board members and staff. I just got a text from Roy Vanderhook saying his internet went down and maybe he could come in by phone. Anyway, that's for you to deal with. Hold on a second, I just had this. Anyway, I want to speak to you about, first of all, I want to say thank you for the motion that you passed, I think it was last March, at the behest of originally Santa Monica Mayor Phil Brock and Redondo Beach Mayor, now Council Member Dean Francois, to really ask the Fish and Wildlife Department, which I don't see here today, to, you know, consider having stakeholder meetings again. 20-some years ago, we did that. And we had 2 years worth of amazing meetings where we all were in a room together and we all had the same set of facts. What Senator Ben Allen has said here and other places is that it's like we have two different sets of facts. And that's because we are not talking to each other. So having stakeholder meetings where we can all be in a room together and we can present evidence to each other and show what we know can help us get somewhere. We're not ever going to get anywhere otherwise, in my view. So I appreciate that you passed that motion to consider us getting together in a room. We've met with Darren Wilson at Fish and Wildlife since then, and you know, unfortunately, we had to evacuate her building for some other bizarre reasons that day, so we never finished our conversation, but we started, and we're still trying to promote that idea. And we would like for you to do the same thing on item number 4, which I guess you're not going to be taking up today. You have on page 28 an item that continues with the ridiculous notion that we're going forward with a project that for more than 15 years has been stalled and doesn't have the money to continue. We've spent more than $25 million of state money planning this project, and it's not a project that is compatible or ecologically literate with the ecology at the Biona Wetlands. So, in fact, we haven't even had a baseline study for a number of years, and we've had several rare and endangered species come back. So we'd like to see you either remove that item on page 28 or at least remove the milestones and replace them with several other possibilities. One, that possibilities meaning things that are in alignment with the motion that you passed earlier this year. And one would be to again, continue to encourage the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the State Lands Commission, who owns some of 100 acres out at the wetlands as well, to do what you've already said you would
do.
Thank
you, Marcia.
And to start some new baseline surveys.
Thank you, Marcia. And just to clarify, item 4A is an information item, so we will be reviewing. It's just items 3A and 3B that our action items that will not be handled today. So next speaker, please, Luke.
The next speaker is Suzanne Cumming.
Good morning, honorable commissioners. I'm Suzanne Cumming, a member of Sierra Club at the Van Biona Wetlands. Thank you so much for considering item number 4, putting it on the back burner. But keep in mind our comments today when this does come up for a vote. We hope that the item, when you do vote on it, will either go away or include the following items. There are 4 points here. Remove the milestones on the Biona Wetlands item and replace it with A. Encourage CDFW and the State Lands Commission, the two owners, to begin regular stakeholder meetings to better manage and protect the whole area of this all the wildlife on this land. Stakeholder meetings, we need to come together and talk. B, fund and begin new baseline surveys. The most recent surveys were completed over 14 years ago. It just makes sense to find out what's there now first before planning anything new. Several rare and endangered species have returned. New baseline surveys. Let's get them. Ask the LA County Natural History Museum for the new surveys. LACNHM supervised and carried out the thorough 1980s surveys. At that time, they did a complete survey on insects, and we now know how important and how threatened our pollinators are. D, reach out to wildlife and plant population experts at CDFW and beyond to help identify which rare species could be recovered at the Biona Wetlands and what their needs are. Defend Biona Wetlands' gentle restoration plan has some ideas that we can start working on now. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Luke, are there any other members of the public with?
We have no more requests for public comment on item number one.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, I do have a request from Jacob Bergman of Council Member.
I apologize. We have a hand raised, Erica Yelensky.
So sorry to interrupt. I just want to know if the other people online are hearing. I need to know if it's my computer or coming from the room. Every time one of you now speaks into the microphone, it's kind of garbled.
I hear that too, Erica.
You do? Okay. Could AGP... So yeah, through the Zoom, at the beginning it was fine, and then it just changed with the last public speaker. And when she spoke, Luke spoke, and the chair spoke, it was garbled. There's some kind of static. Thank you.
But when Erica was speaking right now, like, I can hear her clearly. So it's something with the room, it appears.
Does it still sound like that if I talk about the
yes.
mic? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I recommend pausing for a moment.
Does that sound any better?
Yes. Okay. On my end, it does. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for letting me know.
All right, thank you. And with that, today we have Mr. Jonathan Bishop, who was our previous chair of the commission and a board member of the commission for years. Jonathan, can you come up to the podium? Jacob here has an acknowledgement from Councilmember Park's office. So,
thank you so much for being here. Yeah, is that better? Maybe. Well, thank you so much for being here, Jonathan. Thank you so much for your leadership on the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission during my first part of my service on the board here. It was truly incredible having you leading us and being able to learn the ins and outs of the commission and the work that is being done under that leadership. But also thank you for your 44 years of service to the region, to the state of California, and to the entire world with the environmental protection work that you've done throughout your entire career. Truly incredible, contributions you made, including the first urban trash TDML, which is in the nation, as well as a number of different roles throughout the region, throughout the state. And so I just wanted to present you with a little something from the councilwoman. So on behalf of the Councilwoman Tracy Park, the mayor, Karen Bass, and the city of Los Angeles, we just wanted to recognize your incredible contributions throughout your career and thank you for that service.
Well, thank you so much, and let the councilman know my appreciation. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
That's nice. It is. yeah. fabulous, Jacob. Thank you. Well, it truly was an honor to serve as your chair for 2 years and to be on the commission. I don't know how long I was on the commission, maybe 10 years, something like that. But you all do important work, and it's, you know, it's sometimes difficult, sometimes painful, but that's part of the whole public process and about public service. And, you know, that's what we have to do. So I appreciate seeing all of you, and I want to acknowledge that my wife and daughter came to see this. So it's very nice, and I appreciate it. And go on and continue with your good works. Take care.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. We miss you. We miss you. All right. So with that, moving on to our next item. 2A, order of the agenda. There's no changes that are proposed by staff. Anyone has any proposed changes? No? Okay, let's move forward then. Next item is 2B. It's report from the chair. Just want to report to you all that we, the executive committee, met on July 17. At that time, we received updates from the commission staff's work. We discussed the structure of and the potential new actions and activities for the draft action plan that you all got a link in the email, and it's item 4A, and this is a draft document that we'll be seeking your input, and there'll be a start of a public comment period. And then we also established the agenda for this meeting. So that's all I have to report. Moving on to the next item, report from the Technical Advisory Committee. Luke, is there an update from them?
Yes, we have a short report. Staff continued to work with Technical Advisory Committee members on developing a template for the State of the Bay report. We'll have more information on that in the coming months, but the State of the Bay report is how the commission tracks how well its work is going. It's an assessment of the health of ecosystems and habitats across Santa Monica Bay. So we have the first chapter of that coming out in a few months, the wetlands chapter. That will be authored by the Southern California Coastal Water Research Project, or SCORP, as you may know them. And it's anticipated to be completed in winter 2025, so end of the year, beginning of next year. And there will be a presentation to the governing board once that is completed. So staff are working with that team right now on getting that project over the finish line. That's all I have on Technical Advisory Committee.
Great. Thank you, Luke. Any questions for Luke? Okay. Next item is the report from the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission Administrative Director and the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Director. So Luke will go first, and then Tom. Luke, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Most of my updates will be discussed in more detail later on in the agenda. But just in summary, staff continued, since the last meeting, staff continued to work with the Executive Committee and the Bay Foundation on developing the draft action plan, which was sent out. And I have more details on that later, as I mentioned. I'll provide more details on ways that we want the governing board to engage and ways we want the public to engage on that process. Besides that, commission staff have also been working with the Bay Foundation on two US EPA deliverables, one of them being the NEPORT, which is a report of the amount of funding and the amount of land acquired over the last federal fiscal year by our members. And that is due in September to the US EPA. And then finally, the annual report for the commission for the National Estuary Program is due on October 31st. So that's why I've been emailing you all for updates. I'm gathering information for these two reports, so I appreciate your cooperation. That concludes my update. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. Tom?
Thank you, Martha. Thanks, Luke. just checking in with the folks online. All the audio is working out? Marcella?
You sound great.
Okay, great.
So, sorry, Tom, can I interrupt you? We have Greg Rochelle attending remotely now.
All right, back into it. Welcome, Greg. Just a couple operational highlights I wanted to share with you folks this morning, and as Luke sort of prefaced his comments, you'll be hearing more from me later on a lot of work going on leading into the development of that draft action plan. Right off the top, don't bury the lead, as I was taught in high school. 25 years of clean boating efforts here in California, similar efforts nationwide, and very happy to say that collectively state parks, state water board, a number of the other folks involved in that effort, as well as the Bay Foundation, we've contacted over 130,000 boaters, and disseminated ways that they can improve their practices, maintaining their vessels, minimizing the likely pollution of the environment related to cleaning products, other types of practices with the maintenance of those vessels, and we're continuing to advance that work with a lot of infrastructure, tremendous amount of support from municipalities, harbor districts, and the such throughout California to make that happen. We're a bit of a leader in this regard, and our folks will be in Rhode Island next week making a presentation at a national conference so that those best practices, lessons learned that we've experienced here as an NEP can be disseminated to others so they can pick it up and continue to advance this work. So good job, everybody. Good job, dock walkers. Over 120 folks trained this year and another 2,800 or so clean boating kits going out the door to give folks some of the tools they need to get the work done. On to the beach, because it's summertime. We've had a lot of work going on this summer, from Manhattan Beach to Dockweiler to Santa Monica, up on Westward in Zuma. Hundreds of volunteers joining us during this period of time to come out and help us weed, collect seeds. So if you need some Zen time, collecting seeds from poppy flowers is good for you. We can help you accomplish that task. Lots going on out there, a lot of signage, growing interest, I think, with the work that's out there, and perhaps of greatest interest, thousands of endangered El Segundo blue butterflies taking advantage of the sea cliff buckwheat plants that are now 5 to 7 years established in along Manhattan Beach. They're emergent largely in the early summer. They are bright blue on their backs. They're about the size of your thumbnail. Their wing beats are so fast I can barely catch a still image on my fancy phone. Something not to miss and something that we're working on, making sure we have greater outreach moving forward. And we had a plover nest in Dockweiler. Three eggs hatched. As for where the chicks are, where the parents went, they don't call, they don't text, they kind of ghost you after they're out there. A lot of ongoing efforts to try to make sure that they're receiving reasonable protection for that section of the beach in case they are still using it intermittently or resident. You'll see, I have a picture to share with you later on today that I'll get after why finding plovers can be such a challenge. Moving off the beach and into the water, just last week, working with the Refugio oil spill trustees, 10 years ago, the Refugio oil spill up there in Santa Barbara, certainly you see a lot of news bites about activating the coastal pipeline there, so it's still a very hot topic. Because of our work and interests here in Santa Monica Bay to restore or increase the population structure of abalone, we're well suited to do this work elsewhere in Southern California. So the first red abalone being outplanted along the mainland coast in Santa Barbara to help mitigate or enhance that environment after harms caused from that oil spill. We just got that done last week. This was going into the very newly established Chumash National Marine Sanctuary. We had folks from the Chumash tribe out there on the boat with us that day. They've been working in the lab with us along the way. A lot of great information sharing, and certainly a very lovely celebration to see what is such a treasured cultural asset to those people being placed back in the water, as well as all the environmental joy that healthy populations of abalone can produce. We have been diving, restoring kelp forests off of Palos Verdes. I got to thank our fishermen and our volunteers who've been doing so much to help advance that work. Our boat has been out on the water working 4 days a week, and other vessels complementing that to give you an idea of the pace at which we've been going. We've just been out there 6 days a week getting it done. Similar vein of information sharing that I mentioned with our work around the boating community, the state of California is undertaking a kelp restoration and management plan. It's a fairly novel approach to a fishery management plan, looking at, in this case, you know, the sort of biogenic structure, the forest itself, and figuring out how to continue to harvest that in context to ecological health and other services to fishers, et cetera. So we've been supporting that effort. That project is supposed to wrap up sometime next year, but a lot of great information exchange, a lot of opportunity to work with folks up and down the coast, scientists, researchers, community advocates, NGOs, tribal partners, all engaged. Really been fantastic. I feel like I've learned a lot. Luke mentioned NEPORT and the annual report. Thanks for bringing those up, Luke. And some of the other action that's in play is we had a work plan approved by this body moving forward. It is still in process. We don't have an award yet, but I wanted to let you know, as is the case with that process, there's clarification that's requested. There is conforming that work plan to the grant itself. And in this case, I just wanted to share with you that we took an interest in removing the word green from that proposal, as it could have caused us an issue. So greenhouse gas emissions looks like air pollution in this document at this point in time, and green infrastructure is just infrastructure. I think we still honored the intent of this body when you approved it, but that is where it's at. I'd also let you know that because it's not final, there still may be more changes asked or desired in order to move this document forward.
So, Tom, before you move forward, yeah. Now, just to clarify, this was the draft work plan that the board approved, the commission approved in April, right, where we had gone through and made some changes to align with the Clean Water Act language. So what you're saying is that there was a couple of additional edits, but it's still going through EPA review. If EPA has significant edits, it'll come back. Or, I mean, do they edit? And or maybe this is a question for Erica.
You want me to speak now or when Tom's done? I don't want to interrupt your flow. I'm happy. I was prepared to talk.
Okay.
Still prepared. Just let me know.
Okay, I'll let him finish. I just wanted, because I know there's a lot of things that we ask our commission to review, and I wanted to make sure that there was no confusion. The work plan is the one that we, this commission, approved in April. Okay. All right.
Yes.
We'll let you finish off your update, and then Erica can chime in. Thank you.
All right, Martha. Thank you, and appreciate that clarification. We've got the new draft CCMPA action plan. I'm excited to orient folks to that today. And I know that you had requested photos of me in the past for these types of presentations. Those photos are in the draft CCMP presentation. So we'll be talking, will be a lot of words, and then we'll have some photos that
awesome.
I think help contextualize and add some substance to what we're doing today. So that's the substance of my report. If there's any questions, let me know.
Okay, we'll let Erica chime in, and then I'll open it up if you guys have any questions for Tom. Erica?
Sure. Okay, thanks, Tom. Thank you, Martha. So, yeah, I So we always work with our NEP directors after, you know, closely during the work plan process and, you know, after it's submitted. So we worked with Tom and staff to make sure the work plan was consistent with our statutory requirements, our existing executive orders, and our internal agency policy. And as Tom described, we did ask for clarity just to provide some more specificity. Tom provided the examples in the work plan to understand the project intentions and help us track grant outcomes. I think there were just a couple of brief, non-substantial changes. The award is still in process. So I've done my part, and then I've sent it to our headquarters office and to our grants office for processing, and we are closely tracking. So this is the one that you approved, the work plan you approved in April. And yes, so thank you. And I had forgotten that the order of the agenda, I thought this part would come first before Tom reported, but hopefully that adds some clarity and I'll stop talking. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica, for that update. Does anyone have any questions for Tom on his report? No? Okay.
We do have a online public commenter on this item.
For item 2D?
That's correct, yeah. Item 2D, do you want to move to that now?
Sure. Okay. Sure, let's go ahead and do that.
We have Walter Lamb who wished to comment on this item. Walter, just a reminder, I see that you registered under two items. So our standard practice is that your allotted time covers all agenda items. So just giving you a reminder there. I'm going to unmute you and you should be allowed to speak. A timer should appear on your screen.
Good morning, Walter Lamb, Bino Wetlands Land Trust. I asked for the update that Tom just gave. I don't think you would have gotten it had I not requested it through the chair. Was not expecting for him to say that the word greenhouse gases had been altered. Not sure if it was scientists at EPA that requested that, and that green infrastructure is now just infrastructure. But that seems to be a change that no one on this board is at all uncomfortable with. And it's a little confusing if that means that actual language in the work plan was edited. These are fairly substantial changes. But the other thing I just would like to point out is that the federal regulation gave the regional administrator 60 days to approve, conditionally approve, or disapprove of this work plan within, you know, from the May 28th submission date. So something happened there. And when you were approving this in April, one of the reasons you rushed to strip out words like climate change and ocean acidification rather than leave them in and to have a negotiation period, which is exactly what's happening, is that you thought the negotiation period was going to delay the funding. So I have 3 minutes today to talk about this new development that I was not expecting, and then also to comment on the Biona wetlands. So it's a challenge, and it's certainly an uphill challenge. But we're going to continue to do what we think is important in terms of defending science. It's really, really difficult to swallow that the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission could hear Tom Ford say, hey, we took out greenhouse gases, and just kind of smile and say, hey, we're all doing a great job. I'll save my minute and 10 seconds for the next item. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter. Those are all the commenters we had under this item.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. And we will be having some additional discussion on item 4A regarding this. Moving on to the next item. It's report from members on implementation of the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan goals and actions. Are there any updates from any member? Sure, Dean.
Can I just make a comment? We had another voting member attend. Do we have a quorum? Because we were three short, but we have two online voting members. So what is the status on having a quorum?
Thank you, Dean. I believe the explaining that John Erickson is present today. Let me update my sheet here. I believe we have still not reached quorum in person. We still do not have an in-person quorum.
So we still need two people. Is that right?
We still need three.
We still need three. And the are there any online voting people online?
I can step in. Hey, Dean, under the Bagley-Keen Act, we need, in order to establish a quorum, a majority in person, which is 15. Those folks online do not count, so we still don't have a quorum in person. I think we're at, 13, 12? So, yeah, we have to table those items.
We're not able to vote on anything to allow them to be included.
Correct. There is one exception under the Act, but it doesn't apply here.
Dean, at this point, it would be the meeting minutes, which we can do next meeting. And the other item is an update to the commission's that can be done next time, too.
Thank you.
It may be helpful for me to just say the action plan, the CCMP action plan that we will get to on the agenda today. There will not be a vote on that item. Does that help?
Okay, Jacob.
I know that early in previous meetings we've had some discussion and presentations on the impacts of the Palisades fire on the watershed, and I do want to just report that actually this Tuesday we'll begin the final debris clearance in the Palisades of the residential lots. Of course, huge step to ensure that additional rains, wind, any kind of runoff from these sites do not bring debris into the watershed any further. And so just want to share that development. Very exciting moment for the Palisades and for the region.
Thank you, Jacob. Anyone else?
Apologies, Madam Chair. It took me over an hour and a half to get here from West Hollywood, so I apologize for being late.
Oh,
I love this commission so much.
Thank you for being here, and we look forward to your input.
I apologize it took me so long. I did email Luke to let him know, but
okay, John.
Well, just because Tom gave an update on the plovers at Tockweiler, which it's great to hear that we had hatched and fledged. I thought I would also add that we had an endangered lease tern at Dockweiler Beach as well, and hatched and fledged successfully from one mating pair, which is has not happened for a number of years. This is the first time in about 4 years that we have had any nesting at all. So a little bit of progress.
Great. Thank you, John. Anyone else? Warren?
Certainly. It's great to hear about the lease terns and the snowy plovers, which our department is privileged to support both of those efforts. We're also excited to share some information about our Coastal Resilience Initiative. On July 8th, our Board of Supervisors approved the mitigated negative declaration for our sand compatibility and opportunistic use program, lovingly known as SCOOP. SCOOP is a tool available in the state of California to pre-approve small-scale sand renourishment projects. Typically, the approvals do not exceed 150,000 cubic yards per site per year. This is contingent on when suitable sand becomes available from construction projects or other local efforts. We've included five sites in our SCOOP plan. They are Zuma, Will Rogers State Beach, Dockweiler State Beach, Manhattan Beach, and Redondo Beach. Also, we are pleased to announce this week that the Los Angeles County Regional Park and Open Space District approved $5.1 million of Department of Beaches and Harbors funding from Measure A of 2016. This was the local voter-approved measure known as the Safe Neighborhood Parks and Beaches measure. This funding will advance the planning and design of three demonstration living shoreline projects at Zuma Beach, Dockweiler Beach, and Redondo Beach. The planning process will continue this fall and will include stakeholder and community outreach and engagement for each project. Also, I'll leave my last announcement for the end. Thank you.
Okay, great. Anyone else? So if not, I guess I'll share briefly.
We have Erica Yelinski online.
Okay, great. Erica, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me? Yes, thank you. Okay, congratulations to Beaches and Harbors on the funding. Just wanted to note, this is more a state board item, but the California Water Quality Monitoring Council is meeting most of the day today about post-fire water quality monitoring. So I just thought that might be of interest. And I think they usually record and post on YouTube so folks can go back to that. And maybe I'll just send that to Luke to share out so if you folks have that as a reference. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Erica, for that. I'll just close with, I think I've shared with you in the past, the sanitation districts is in partnership with the Metropolitan Water District on the Pure Water Southern California project that would take water from our Warren facility in Carson. 250 million gallons of flow per day are currently being discharged to the ocean in San Pedro Bay. This Pure Water project would take 150 of that, purify it, and make it available for beneficial reuse within our region. So the public comment period for the draft environmental impact report closed in mid-July. We got over 40 comment letters. And at this point, we'll work towards response to comments. And the plan would be that the Metropolitan Board would be asked to consider certification of a final EIR. And then subsequently, the sanitation districts would also certify it for the actions that we plan to take. So, you know, we look forward to seeing, hopefully, that project being implemented. So I just wanted to share that with you all. So with that, we can move to the next item, which we're skipping 3A and 3B since we're not able to take action. But then we can move on to item information items, which we have 4A, the presentation on the draft action plan of the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program Comprehensive, the CCMP. So this item is related to the work plan that we approved this past April, in that this action plan lists all the actions that are part of our National Estuary Program monitoring plan. So Luke is going to introduce this item, and between he and Tom, we'll provide an update and of this, which you guys were all emailed a link of the draft of this action plan, which looks very different from the previous version. And I know I asked Luke to share with you all that the plan will be that you will be able to see in edit mode what's been revised, and that we really look forward to your input, because it does involve changes in terms of descriptions, in terms of the goals, that we look forward to getting your input. And the idea, there needs to be, there's a 30-day comment period that the plan would be it starts today. But ultimately, I can tell you as chair, we're not going to rush through this. We will provide public input, and we will provide you all the opportunity to let us know in terms of the revisions. So with that, I'll turn it over to Luke.
Thank you, Chair. Give me a moment while I share my screen for my presentation. As the chair mentioned, this will be a two-part presentation. There will be a few opportunities where I can pause if folks wish to ask questions. I will be providing background information on the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan itself, and also some background information on the development of the draft document. So, to begin, the Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan, or CCMP, this is all a term that, you know, we talk about a lot here. To sum it up, this is the long-term framework for actions and strategies that address different environmental issues facing Santa Monica Bay and its communities. And the US EPA recommends updates or revisions to take place every 5 to 10 years. And update versus revision is a bit of US EPA jargon, where updates would be minor changes to the plan and revisions would be more substantive changes. And the discretion for when to do an update or revision is left up to the National Estuary Programs themselves. To give you some of the history behind the updates and revisions that have happened over the years, I put together this crude timeline. The very first CCMP was adopted by the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission in 1995, and then there was a revision in 2008, an update in 2013, a revision in 2017, and then the revision process was kicked off in 2024 for this action plan. So one thing to note here is that these dates, these just refer to when the revision process started. Typically, these revisions and updates can take multiple years to accomplish. And that is because the CCMP itself is not just one document. The CCMP consists of 5 separate documents that are maintained and updated separately. I have them all listed out here in this table, along with an explanation for each document, or a very brief explanation or description. So, the first component of the CCMP, and what I would consider to be the main component, is the action plan. And that identifies overarching goals and actions. So often when we talk about CCMP in these meetings, we're talking about the action plan. That's where it lists all the actions, all the projects that you all are doing. And the last revision happened to that document in 2018. So we're coming up on that 10-year time. So that is why we, the Commission staff and the Bay Foundation, have undertaken this effort to revise that document. The CCMP also consists of an introduction chapter. This is a summary informational document that is provided to the public, and that provides background information, in a summary format, and it also details the scope of the National Estuary Program. There's the finance plan, which outlines strategies to finance action plan implementation. So that puts numbers on each of the action plan items. And that was last revised in 2019. The comprehensive monitoring plan. This sounds very similar to CCMP, but this is different. The comprehensive monitoring plan is a plan to measure effectiveness of action plan implementation. This document is very relevant to our technical advisory committee. Those folks are tasked with figuring out how healthy ecosystems and habitats and populations are around Santa Monica Bay. And this comprehensive monitoring plan directs their efforts, in other words. Maybe that's the best way I can sum it up. And then finally, the final component to the CCMP is the Memorandum of Understanding, which is a document describing the governance structure and membership of the commission. That was updated in February 2024, and it was the adoption of that that new Memorandum of Understanding that kicked off this revision process. So I have that in bold here to indicate that that is what started this next revision cycle. I'm going to pause here for a second and make sure everybody absorbed that, or make sure, you know, nobody has questions.
Any questions? Anyone? All right.
Okay. Keep going. I can move on. I'm going to provide just some brief clarity on some foundational information on what the action plan is and what it looks like before I hand it off to Tom. So I just have a few slides here, just giving you a quick overview of what the action plan is, since that is what we will be discussing today. So the action plan details 7 goals of the National Estuary Program, and they are listed out here. They are protect, enhance, and improve ecosystems of Santa Monica Bay, improve water availability, improve water quality, enhance socioeconomic benefits to Santa Monica Bay communities, enhance public engagement and education, increase resiliency to climate change, and improve monitoring to assess management actions. And this action plan also details 44 actions that meet those 7 goals. So some actions might meet one goal, some actions meet multiple goals, or all 7. To just paint the picture even more, I have some example actions listed on this slide. So action 2 in the action plan is to restore kelp forests. Action 17 is support stormwater and dry weather runoff capture and reuse. Action 29, reduce health risks from contaminated seawater and seafood. And action 36, monitor the impacts of climate change. So, do I need to clarify anything on you know, what the action plan is? Again, Tom will go over some of this in his presentation. If not, I'll shift to the next portion of my presentation, which is on the process of developing the draft action plan, which was emailed to you prior to this meeting. And the commission staff, as well as the Bay Foundation, worked closely with the executive committee since March 2024 to identify some recommendations on how to improve that document. And Tom will go over many of those revisions, but what I will focus on is how we processed public comments and developed recommendations based on the public comment that the commission has received over the years. So from the period of 2021 to 2025, that is the time since the last CCMP revision, commission staff have received almost 500 public comments. Usually during our work plan process, our annual work plan process, we get a lot of public comments. And we notice that a lot of these public comments are relevant to an action plan update. So we held on to those comments and we reanalyzed them under this action plan revision process. And these comments were delivered in written format. They were delivered during public meetings such as this, and they were given at annual workshops that the commission staff hosts. So we reanalyzed all of these public comments and worked with the executive committee to develop some recommendations for how to improve the action plan. And in sifting through these comments, we went through a process where we had to identify which ones would be relevant to an action plan update. Many of the comments were specific to the work plan. Many of them were just... Most of the comments we received were actually in support of work we already do, which is great. But When boiling down the public comments relevant to the action plan, there were three themes that emerged. We received a lot of input regarding tribal engagement. We received a lot of public input on education and outreach, as well as recommendations for new initiatives. And I could have used the word actions here instead of initiatives, but as you'll see during Tom's presentation, some of the language in the document has been changed. So I went with initiatives here, but I could have said actions. So sorry if that causes any confusion. So I will give a brief overview of the types of public comments we received on each of these themes. And then I will describe what the executive committee recommended. So regarding tribal engagement, a lot of the public comment encouraged the commission to build relationships with tribes and to help tribes build capacity to engage with the commission. A lot of the public comments asked the commission to incorporate indigenous knowledge into action plan projects. And there were calls to develop a land acknowledgement and acknowledge indigenous names wherever possible. So the commission has had limited tribal engagement over the years, and it's really difficult to get at those second two bullet points without having established relationships with tribes. So the first recommendation that the executive committee had was to get the ball rolling on establishing relationships with tribes. So commission staff will begin conducting tribal outreach on an ongoing basis, but starting with this action plan process. So staff are ready to begin conducting tribal outreach. And the second recommendation from the executive committee was to start capturing or recording more of the efforts that our commission members are doing regarding tribal engagement, because our members are doing that work already, and it's just, you know, it's not reflected in our documentation. So that could be something that we start to track. That was the other recommendation. The second theme from the public comments was on education and outreach. I have two slides of the types of public comments we received. So members of the public wished that the commission increased engagement with inland communities and environmental justice-focused organizations. Folks wanted us to support workforce development, especially in underserved communities, provide public tours of restoration sites or conservation sites. Members of the public wanted us to increase presence in traditional and social media. Folks wanted more programs, events, and materials focused on youth and partnerships with local schools on restoration projects. And finally, folks wanted us to make the coast more accessible through field trips and recreation-focused events and programs. So many of you might be reading through these lists and thinking, you know, we already do some of this work. So the first recommendation from the executive committee was to begin capturing those efforts that you're doing in our documentation, in our action plan. So that was the first recommendation. See what our members are already doing regarding education and outreach, workforce development, engagement with environmental justice organizations, and capture that in the action plan. As a place to start. And another recommendation was to update the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission's website to be a repository for member information. That is definitely something that can be improved upon. I believe we have the ability to change the website to provide more information and resources from our members. Commission staff have not had capacity to look into that in a detailed manner, but that is a potential. The third theme from the public comments was we received a lot of folks with recommendations for new initiatives or actions or things that the commission can do. So staff worked with the executive committee on ranking those recommendations. And the ranking was based on importance and relevance to the SMBRC's mission. And another consideration was if that initiative already existed in some form, if there was an established program around that issue, and if there was a funding source for that issue. So that's how these new initiatives were ranked, or recommendations for new initiatives. And these three initiatives were of high priority, according to the executive committee. The first one is to support trash removal and cleanups. This sounds like a no-brainer, but believe it or not, our current action plan does not have anything about trash removal projects such as beach cleanups. So this would be a very low-hanging fruit to include in the draft action plan. There were calls to support wildfire prevention and response strategies. For example, monitoring post-fire or between fires, and doing restoration work after a fire. So our current action plan does not list any actions related to wildfire. So that's an area that the document can be improved. And then finally, another high priority recommendation was to support source identification studies for recreational water quality. This is another low-hanging fruit. This is something that a lot of our members or related organizations work on to help improve recreational water quality in the ocean. So these were the high priority initiatives. And again, these were ranked by importance, relevance, and existing efforts. And then there were some lower priority initiatives that were ranked, and these were studying the impact of commercial aquaculture, supporting commercial aquaculture, so recommending that the commission support commercial aquaculture in Santa Monica Bay in a sustainable way, and study the impacts of noise pollution on marine life. So these three items, they are related to the commission's work. I'm not aware of any existing efforts for these, though. That being said, I do anticipate commercial aquaculture happening in Santa Monica Bay in the future. So still relevant, but no ongoing effort here, which is why they're lower priority. So I'll just pause here to remind folks that the action plan that is posted online and was emailed to you is a draft plan. And there is an opportunity to add items to that plan. So I have followed up with some of the folks in this room regarding some of these initiatives, if you will. There still is time to get those items in this action plan. Finally, under the theme of new initiatives, new actions, there were also some recommendations for folks to collaborate with, organizations to collaborate with. I have them listed here on this slide. They are the Ocean Conservation Society, Baldwin Hills Conservancy, Marina Del Rey Anglers, Tatavium Land Conservancy, and East Yard Communities for Environmental Justice. If any of you have a project that is relevant to the Santa Monica Bay Restorations Commission's mission, if you have a project with any of these organizations that's relevant to our mission, please let us know. Or if you, you can also just use this as an FYI to team up with any of these organizations on a project. They're interested. I'm going to wrap up my presentation by going over a tentative timeline for the revision process for the action plan. So as the chair mentioned earlier, there is a written comment period for this draft plan. It begins today, August 21st, and goes 60 days to October 20th. There will also be a virtual community member workshop that commission staff are hosting on September 23rd. I will make sure I send out information on how to register for that later. And then finally, staff are considering extending the governing board meeting in October, on October 16th, to facilitate a more in-depth discussion on the draft action plan. I wasn't sure where we should pause to discuss this. We may want to see how the discussion goes today before discussing extending that meeting, but I just wanted to put it on the table now. And one caveat to that is if we do decide to extend that meeting to have extended comments or extended discussion, commission staff do ask that your organization submit comments on the draft action plan by the end of September. I have September 26th there as a item or as a deadline. So if we are going to have a substantive, fruitful discussion at that October meeting, we're going to need some substantive comments back from you. So this is something that we're requesting. And I should also mention that that will not be your only opportunity to provide comments on this draft plan, because as you see on the last line there, the earliest that this could be considered for approval is December 11th. So even if you provide us with comments on September 26th, there will be additional opportunities after that. That concludes my presentation. We do have Tom Ford, who has a presentation of his own, but I can pause there to answer any questions on what I presented on.
Annalisa?
Yeah, I just want to maybe clarify something that I inferred from your presentation just now, particularly on the tribal engagement piece. I think that a lot of the members here have worked very hard to build relationships with tribal nations and representatives. So I think it's really smart to understand that work that's been done, but to also make sure that as we document that or understand it fully, that that supports and informs the staff engagement.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, staff need to do the legwork to understand what folks have been doing. We've done a little bit of that with the regional board, but yeah, you'll be hearing from me in the future.
Just the clarification part is that we're not just documenting it, but that we are then leveraging those relationships.
Yeah, sorry. That was the intention behind it. Yep.
Jacob?
Thank you, Luke, for this presentation and update. One of the things you mentioned that you said was going to probably be of growing importance in time, but maybe it's a lower priority for now, is commercial aquaculture. Do we know which bodies regulate the commercial aquaculture in the Santa Monica Bay?
Off the top of my head, don't quote me on this, CDFW, the State Lands Commission, as well as the State Water Control Board. I am aware of the folks at those agencies who work on aquaculture. So I've been working on getting more up to speed on those issues from state agencies. So I'm still working on that. But my agency is involved, so we should be able to be in there and have up-to-date information.
Thank you. It's something I've talked with Tom about a bit, about the my interest in the intersection of kelp restoration and commercial aquaculture. And I think that hopefully will be an exciting topic for future discussion, as well as an emerging topic for benefiting our watershed. So just wanted to put that out there as well, that if that is different stakeholders than we have at the table, that as it grows in importance, obviously not an immediate priority, to consider who we might need to include in the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Jacob. Jenny?
Hi, thank you, Luke. I have a process-related question, sort of related to what Martha brought up. So, Martha, you indicated there would be an underlying strikeout version of the action plan. Is that available now, or will it be available before September 26th?
I think Mr. Ford can best answer that question. I think ideally sooner than later.
Yeah, I don't mind trying to address the question. I find it to be a particularly challenging one, because the structure of the document has been significantly altered. My late Thursday evening, I was like, I could redline the whole last plan and put the new one next to it, which I don't think serves anybody well. And that might have been, you know, sort of a capricious approach to it. I think I'd love to figure out how anyone with experience doing that work around this table thinks we could do that with this plan standing one copy next to the other, as to the service that a redline version could serve, or some other mechanism to help folks feel that the past action plan is translating into the new one.
Okay, I understand. That makes sense that it's like the structure of the document that's changed a lot. How about I look at it and call you and see if we have any expertise that I could help you with?
That would be most welcome.
Okay.
I know Martha has brought this up. The EC brought this up. Luke and I are paying attention to this, and I think it is a challenge that I'm challenged by.
Okay. And maybe when I look at it too, I'll realize that we all as commissioners need to take a deep dive. But I'll see what I can do with our resources too.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much,
Madam Chair. Just as a follow up, so. We're talking about the 2017 version. Is that what we're talking about?
I believe 2018, but yeah.
2018, yes. Okay, 2018 version. Was that used to create this, or did we just start over again from scratch?
No, many of the actions identified in the 2018 action plan, I think Luke's presentation spoke to it. Of those near 500 public comments, the majority of them were like, hey, we like what you're doing, keep it up. So much of that has moved into this next draft action plan, Dean, but it's differently organized. And in my presentation, I'll hopefully be able to make that impression on you as to why we made those choices to structure it differently. But most of what we were doing before, we are still doing, but organized differently.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is a red line version would be unproductive because we'd be seeing red lines through practically everything as it was redone then. Is that what you're suggesting?
That is my sense of what that exercise would likely produce. I have not sat down and been like, all right, okay, let me see how to track that. Again asking folks around the table, and I think that's going to be central to everything I'm trying to share with you today, is we need a lot of input from you all to get this thing over the end line.
Right.
We leaned into the places where we felt strong as staff to be able to populate this, and then a lot of it got left on everybody's collective doorstep here.
Okay. Because I mean, as a layperson looking at this, it's hard enough, but I think it would be helpful at our next meeting that we do have that 2018 version available to look at. It doesn't hurt to have it, and I think it would help if we had it. Then we would be better careful to know what we're changing and what we're looking at, and when it comes to all the specific categories.
Yeah, again, thank you, Dean. And one of the motives that we had in the changes that we're proposing in this draft is to make it easier for the public to take a look at this thing and understand.
Okay.
And I tried to reflect on that somewhat deeply when flipping open this plan that I've been inside the bubble on for so long. And I was like, if you showed this to me at the bus stop, I would go, what? We're trying to dial down the jargon, make this a far more transparent, publicly accessible document that explains not just what we're trying to do, but why we're doing it and what we hope to accomplish.
Yeah, okay, all right, thank you.
Erica, your hand is raised.
Yes, thank you. So sorry if I'm stealing anyone's thunder or if you already said this, but there is Appendix A does have it's a table that tells you, kind of walks you through changes briefly. It's not the red line version, but it is a helpful table. So just when the meeting's done, I invite you to look at Appendix A, which is on page 68 of 72 of the document. So I just wanted to give a shout out to the Bay Foundation and commission staff for kind of getting us to this point. I think Luke presented an ambitious and realistic schedule, and EPA does have an approval role. So that wasn't on the schedule per se, but after it goes to the board and you approve the document, it does come to us, and we go through that approval process within the region. So I'll be guiding it through that process, and I will be with you along the way. So my goal is to hopefully make this as smoothly, go as smoothly as I can. And I know, I don't know if Luke said this overtly, but then the the goal is also to have your next work plan be based on the CCMP. Yeah, I'm saying what doesn't need to be said, but yes, just wanted to mention those things and to thank you, Governing Board, in advance for reading the document and providing feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. And I'm glad Erica mentions Appendix A, because that could be an example of what could be done in terms of to identify differences. I think it's what's probably going to make sense here is not necessarily a redline version, but something that clearly identifies this was in 2018. This is what we're proposing now. And I know so far in my review, and I've already shared this with Tom, is that there are omissions in it. I mean, the Bay Foundation did an awesome job trying to get here, but I think along the way, when you're not doing things in edit mode, things can get lost. And I know some things have been dropped. I know Tracy mentioned. So just see it wasn't intentional. So, but this is where we do need you to review this to make sure that activities that you're involved in, but what you're aware of, that they're still there. But then I know on commission staff end, they're still working on this. Some of the input, they haven't actually, this document doesn't reflect all of their input. So that's something that's going to need to happen too. But just if you see something missing, it's not intentional, but just make sure that you bring it up, because, you know, this is a big lift in terms of making our action plan more strategic. Rather than just a list of 44 actions going on at the same time, when in reality they're not. But, you know, this is where, you know, we do need to take the time. But we also understand you all are busy and we need to help. You know, you're not in this all the time the way Tom is or commission staff is. So I really do appreciate that we need to make it easier for our commission members to review and to give input on this. So I really appreciate Jenny volunteering to help out. But if you see something, and I think after the meeting, we'll have Luke also email you all the link of the 2018 plan so that you can see that. And then look at the draft version. And we do need to get put together something that kind of highlights the differences. And I asked Tom to make sure one of the key items is actually on what we currently call goals. We're going from 7 to 6. Not that we're reducing what we're doing, but just modifying and streamlining, and this is where we won't steal Tom's thunder. Let's have him share with us a high overview in terms of what the draft includes.
Hey. The City of Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm a little bit new to this revision process, so sorry if this is kind of a basic question, but as we're looking at actions that we can potentially add, is it that we kind of consider the various things that our own agencies are doing that tie into what the Santa Monica Commission is doing, or is it something that specifically we've already kind of engaged with the commission on?
Oh, this is the time to add new. And so, Luke, can you?
Sorry, could you repeat your question, Susie?
Yeah, just as we're looking at potential actions to include in the plan, is it more like is it appropriate to add new actions that our agencies have kind of been working on independently that we want to integrate into the commission, or is it more focused on actions that have more been a continuation of work that has already been done with the commission?
So, I think yes, to answer your question, it is an opportunity if you have a relevant project or program that you're working on that you would like to integrate into the plan. Now is the time to discuss that. Just make sure it's relevant to the commission's mission, and you know, we leave it up to our members to you know, have their items in this plan or not.
Well, I want to bait heal the bay a little bit because I know they have a coastal cleanup day that they organize every year. That might be a good one to think about how we as a commission can support and cross promote. And I know that it doesn't just focus on the coast, also focuses on inland communities too. It might be a good thing to mention if you want to speak to that.
Yes, thank you, Susie. Luke and I have been talking about that, so it's definitely on our radar to add that in.
Well, and then just one more comment. Really appreciate your overview of the three new topics that you'd like to emphasize this time around, one being tribal engagement. I'll just say from my experience, I have had a few interactions with tribal representatives, not as many as I'd like, to be honest, but I found everyone to be very valuable. And I wonder if as a commission, we can go beyond simply acknowledgement and engagement and maybe even consider having a designated seat where they can come to the table as a potential decision maker for the commission.
Yes, that is a possibility. And this came up during the last MOU revision, which, again, is the document outlining membership of the commission. It did come up. It was decided that relationships need to be established first to see how tribes would wish to engage with the commission. So the answer is yes, that can certainly happen, but we need to get to know folks first.
I also understand their time is valuable and we need to be cognizant of their capacity, but it would be nice to work toward that, and I appreciate you doing that. Hey, John.
Do we regularly get on any of our reports kind of to speak to Annalisa's, comment about checking boxes, right? So it's not just a checkbox, but I think the engagement piece is necessary, right? So when you have a draft action plan and we come and we have a lot of data that we have to read and hopefully we have quorum, that's another little joke, that we can actually approve it at whatever meeting that will occur. Do we see the report and say, okay, this has been checked off. They've met with the tribes. They've met with this group. They've met with this group. They've done the work, because that helps me as a decision maker and as a local elected official. I always say, did you meet with these five people or groups? And if you did, then I'm probably good to go. But if you haven't, then I don't want to waste your time. And I think we don't want to waste that time. So it'd be great to maybe in the future, or however you plan it, sounds like you are, but on our reporting, kind of have a dossier of your outreach activities. I know all the other electeds in the room, their bosses always ask, who did you meet with? Did they say yes? And then you'll be fine. But I think it just helps us for community outreach, because I think Susie's point is so critical that if we show that goodwill forward, in the forward-thinking matter, it just helps us establish better long-lasting relationships.
I think Tom's presentation will touch on that a bit. Sorry if I interrupted you there, Tom.
One last thing. Thank you so much for this massive amount of work, both from you, Tom, and staff. What we noticed in the report was just our, obviously a typo, that our name was left off in different places. And I can tell it's a typo because there's part of the initials somewhere and not others. So just finding the opportunity to work it back in where I know, you know, we've been a long established partner. It's just it's a mere editing thing. And when you move massive amounts of information from one format to another, some of that's going to come up. So looking at it from both, is there a small edit that needs to be adjusted, or, you know, additional more substantive issues? But thank you. And I had inquired with both staff and a little bit with Martha about when is the opportune time to provide those smaller inputs. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Thank you for the work.
So you can cover that in your presentation.
I will do my best to cover that in my presentation and capture the various pieces that were already shared, which I can tell you I feel that there's a tremendous amount of agreement and acceptance that these are ways that the document can be improved. Yes, sorry for the oversight. By the time I put this thing down, I was like, yeah, it's great. And then I'd go back a week later and you're like, oh God, that's not even proper grammar. So I appreciate everybody's patience as we're working this through, but we did want to get it to you early enough on that if there was some more substantive alteration perhaps of the document, that we were not so far down the road as to make that perhaps more of a challenge than it needs to be. So Luke already covered a bit of this. Susie, thank you. John, I hope we're going to get there as well. Again, Jenny, thank you for your offer. So we all know where we're at here. We grab that next slide, please, Luke. And just a reminder, because I think I can sometimes lose focus because we're in the meeting room and it's microphones and notepads and agendas. But, you know, this is what it looks like on the ground out there. So this is, Terry Herzig taking out a team of our divers to head out to, you know, Palos Verdes, leaving out of Fish Harbor in L.A. Harbor. This was just every picture that I'm sharing with you is within the last month. I think, you know, the comprehensive conservation and management plan that we're putting before you in this draft is intended to hit on those aspirational yet realistic targets, conform with what the EPA guidance directs us to consider, but works its way all the way down to the day in, day out, so that we can check those boxes that John's talking about, have that accountability, as well as being able to demonstrate progress as we move forward. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate it. So here's just the anatomy of this presentation. I want to take you to the introduction of the NEP and the document. I know many of you are familiar with that. Perhaps it's just an orientation, certainly for folks that might be in here present or online who are less familiar. Hopefully that helps quick catch them up. Our study area, purpose and scope, purposes of a management conference, and then the structure of the document itself. And if you need to wave for mercy at any point during this presentation, please, I understand. There's a lot I'm going to put in front of you. So there are 28 national estuary programs, Eastern Seaboard, Gulf Coast, along the West Coast, and one notably in Puerto Rico. All of them are functioning underneath Section 320 of the Federal Clean Water Act. They are essentially local plans that are science-based to protect water quality, protect the uses of the estuary, here we are as the management conference coming together. One of the big jobs that we have, if not perhaps the biggest job, is to put together that CCMP from which we then develop our annual work plans, where I think the rubber perhaps more meets the road. A revision and update is a bit of charged language. I could not find yet a different term to use. The EPA had these sort of criteria of an update or a revision. They're now just telling us that we need to revisit our CCMP when it's appropriate and make the changes that we need to make to move forward. And I think got away from that distinction. But if you're going down a rabbit hole and questioning revisions versus updates, I'd be happy to speak with you. Next slide, please. Where do we focus our efforts? So this red line sort of depicts that geographic region. So it's roughly the watershed boundary of our coastal watersheds here that drain to Santa Monica Bay, geopolitical boundary truly at Cabrillo Beach and at the Ventura LA County line, and then that area that you see offshore. What I think was notable developments in our approach to this work is that knowing what's happening in Santa Monica Bay, you can only learn that if you're also looking outside Santa Monica Bay. Otherwise, you lack that context. And work outside this boundary may also provide benefits through biological connectivity, other ecosystem-type lift happening regionally. There may also be places for us to develop methods and new approaches that are valuable to us to implement here ourselves, or gleaning those from others working in the region or perhaps up and down the West Coast. Next slide, please. Luke already hit you with the long-term framework for action. I'm just trying to point out again that this is a collaborative science-based approach to protecting and restoring the Bay and its watersheds, and really regional priorities for habitat restoration, water quality, community engagement, policy development or policy support, and emergency preparedness, which was one of the ones that I think we'll get to further down this document as to what we can do in that frame to actually aid emergency preparedness in this community. I don't see us becoming something of an environmental Red Cross or Red Crescent group able to do that type of work, but I would love to figure out what everybody thinks we could do with that. The next slide, please. I spoke to you about the folks that are out there, the dock walkers and the work and the, 130,000 strong. Well, this is what this looks like day in, day out. We sit down, we meet with a group of folks. This meeting was actually down in San Diego. We get them their toolkit. We talk to them about their proposals, and then they go out and they meet and greet their neighbors, and they help push the word forward. But always nice to see the faces of those involved. Next slide, please. All right. Why are we here? To deliver tangible benefits for all the communities that live in and around the Bay. And by this case, I'm taking some license with the word communities to include biological communities as well as human communities. Access to clean water, restoring natural spaces, identifying vulnerabilities to recurring extreme weather events. Recurring extreme weather events will be better explained to you in the next couple slides, but that is the lexicon that is being used in the guidance that tells us where we want to go. Our end result is healthier, more resilient, environmentally engaged communities. I've already touched on this. I don't think we need to spend any time here unless folks wish to explore this a bit further as to what a management conference is. We all have them. Those are the local interests sitting around a table, the participation from the public to say, this is what's important to us. Now, we're getting into what I consider to be the guidance, what we are directed to do by Section 320 of the Federal Clean Water Act and the Protect and Restore America's Estuaries Act, which, further amended Section 320. So, assessing trends in water quality, natural resources, and uses of the estuary. Perhaps, Susie, if the question back to you would be like, hey, what are you doing at LA Sanitation and the Environment? If it falls into number one, then great, it would fit in our plan. If you're coming up with amazing bake sale concepts, maybe that doesn't fit. Or maybe the bake sale money goes, so I get you. But I was trying to come up with something hyperbolic on purpose to not get us confused. Collecting, characterizing, assessing data on toxic nutrients. There we go. I think you get the point. Next slide, please. Number three under this list of four, developing the relationship between in-place loads and point and non-point loadings of pollutants in the estuarine zone. So we've got to go out there. I think what this directs us to is to understanding what's already out there versus looking at source control and reductions. I think an acknowledgement that we've got legacy issues as well as ongoing issues, and in dealing with them, we're trying to protect existing uses of our bay and its watersheds. This one gets very specific, right? Here we are saying that a comprehensive conservation and management plan must do the following, A, B, C, and D. Corrective actions and compliance schedules, addressing point and non-point source sources of pollution, restoring and maintaining chemical, physical, and biological integrity, including restoration and maintenance of water quality, balanced indigenous population of shellfish, fish, and wildlife, recreational activities of the estuary. So if I reflect back quickly on what we shared around the table, what Luke's presentation said about what the public comments have been. I think this is a lot of what folks have been asking for. Perhaps this is a very technical presentation of that, but I'm just reminding us that we have our discretion, but this is what we're supposed to be focused on. Next item, please. And this has become our new game. It's called Find the Plover. And I bring this up in this, not just to introduce a break and get some levity in here, but like here we are looking at our beach, our beaches, our interest in restoring them to put back habitat values to benefit these rare or threatened species, also to create resilience against sea level rise, also to make sure that existing recreational uses aren't unfairly impacted. And so then how do we start to separate all of those interconnected items and get down to how that fits into a plan? And that's some of what we've been wrestling with, and I hope you'll appreciate our solution. So did anybody find one or any?
Just one.
Top one? Left corner.
Yeah, top left corner. Is that one or two? I think there might be two. When it took this image and made it fit on this presentation, there were seven in the bigger area. And trust me, it's not that big an area. Anyway, thanks everybody. All right. Again, more purposes of the management conference: addressing the effects of recurring extreme weather events on the estuary, identification and assessment of vulnerabilities, and the development and implementation of adaptation strategies.
Can I ask, is this language verbatim to what is in the guidance or in the...
It is verbatim protocol? To what is in the guidance. It is exactly what is in the draft before you, and it is information that we also shared with everyone in the work plan for FY26, which was something of a half step towards this. So we're looking to conduct monitoring and gather data so that we can start to assess vulnerabilities. And then once we have an understanding what those vulnerabilities are, developing methods to go out there and work towards fixes on that, ultimately leading to something that would be, I think, considered an adaptation strategy. Next slide. Thanks, Luke. All right. Last couple of these folks: address the recurring extreme weather events on the estuary, assessment of vulnerabilities. It's called out in two places, I'm repeating it here, but it doesn't fall into that, you know, sort of alphanumeric story. Next slide, please. Here are what the vulnerabilities that we're going after are acknowledged to be caused by: warmer summers, warmer winters, warmer waters, increasing drought, increasing storminess, sea level rise, and ocean acidification. Next slide, please. All right. So now we're getting into how we imagined getting after this. By the way, because, you know, LA is still a film town in some way. Best use of a flashlight in an underwater biological survey goes to my staff member, Sean Taylor, for holding that flashlight down and highlighting that white abalone while this diver from California Department of Fish and Wildlife snapped a great shot. This summer has been a breakout summer for endangered white abalone here in the LA region. We have found 16 of them out there, and one of aggregation of them, the largest that's been seen in decades. And we have little tissue samples of them that are now being processed for their genetics so we can learn as much as we can about their origins. So here we go. Again, six goals. This is the highest order that we're looking at, guiding that long-term vision. Each goal defining a broad priority for Santa Monica Bay and its watershed. Those goals are elucidated by a vision statement, what we're aspiring to, the objective statement, what we aim to achieve, and that theory of change of what these efforts would then lead to and creating a meaningful impact. Next slide. Underneath those goals, six goals, 11 actions. All right, I'm going to take that aspirational larger piece, and now what am I going to do to get things on the ground, in the water, to start making those changes? So then Each action defines a major area of effort under the goal. Each goal has somewhere between 1 to 3 of these actions. The plan has 11 actions in total. And the anatomy of an action is that objective, a history and summary. So when you drop into it, you can see, hey, this is, folks have been doing this forever. We've been working on cleaning this up for a long time. We've been trying to restore this forever. Here's the progress we've made. Here's where we want to go. 10-year performance plan. And then the activities, which would be the specific projects to advance a program, those programs to advance those goals. Next slide, please, Luke. On the ground implementations. Did we use the same word, Luke? Implementation? What did you, I forget what word you were using.
I said initiative.
Initiatives. All right. The eyes are at play. Each activity is a specific implementation approach to achieve an action. There are 2 to 6 activities per action at this point. This gets down into some further specificity of location, the benefits, the leads, and the partners in this work. Tracy, expect RCD all over the place in these. And those implementation milestones so that those boxes that John was speaking to aren't perhaps in that pejorative of just, yep, did it, but, you know, really getting after something that matters. Next slide. So here are the 6 as they stand today. A reminder, right? It's a draft. We're looking for and open to folks' input on this. We desperately need it. Habitat restoration and biodiversity enhancement. Restoring those kelp forests, restoring eelgrass beds, restoring dunes, restoring riparian communities, restoring coastal wetlands, lagoons, that type of work. The benefits of that in biodiversity, either putting out abalone and actively doing that or creating a better habitat that will attract naturally occurring organisms and build biodiversity over time. Goal number 2, water quality and availability. I have basic appreciations for water quality. I understand what it means to try to go out there and document whether the water is good or bad or a threat or not a threat. But when it comes to the investment and the work that's being done largely in this region, it is not led by the Bay Foundation. It's by many of the partners around this table. And that goal number 2 for water quality and availability is a place where we're really hoping by September 26th to get some substantive input from those of you around the table. We're saying, hey, we got this program. We got this project. Is that part of an action or is that an activity? And I think we can help walk you through that. Community engagement and education. RIT, very large. It came back from the public to us. It was part of our program evaluation a couple years back with the EPA saying, hey, there should be more communication going on, more visibility for this work. We want to see you guys improve on that. So we're getting after it in Goal 3. There's also a specific action under Goal 3 that mentions tribal engagement specifically. Monitoring and method development. Going out there collecting the data. In many cases, the challenge isn't just collecting the data. It is, how do you collect that data? What tools do you have to collect that data? And we find ourselves involved in a lot of innovation along the way. The other side of the method development is, hey, how do you put 2,500 abalone on the ocean floor? You know, if you go on Amazon, you don't buy your 2,500 and abalone outplant unit. Technical collaboration and policy support came up several times today in our meeting. We're sharing information. We're gaining information. We're sharing lessons learned and expertise nationally, locally, regionally. That was not part of the last plan. I think we devalue how much exchange we're engaged in. So from the staff's perspective, we wanted to see that come into this at that level. It will also aid us in our reporting because there's a lot of reports that we generate, disseminating those reports, going to conferences, sharing our lessons learned, sharing that technical information peer-to-peer, being something that we felt was discernibly different than community engagement and education. And Goal 6, our new one on the scene, extreme events and emergency response preparation, where again, you know, we feel like we are babes in the woods on this and are trying to figure out how we can integrate likely with larger agencies in our region. Next slide, please, Luke. Just a little bit more of a deep dive, and I appreciate y'all hanging with me. Goal one, habitat restoration and biodiversity enhancement, has three actions. Restore coastal and marine habitats. That would include, you know, your beaches and your coastal wetlands. Enhance connectivity across those, making sure that, as we know, many of these species move from one to another, depending on life stage, season, other needs. Inland, wetland, and riparian ecosystems, also called out here. I know there's redundancy in coastal. We can have a conversation. Next slide. Like I said, I want to provide a few breaks. Let's go back up. Those are beautiful shopping bags full of Seacliff buckwheat seeds that our staff and volunteers, again, sit there with the patience of Buddha, getting these out of the plants that are established, put them in the bags, make sure we're documenting where we collected them, when we collected them. We know where we want to put them. Then they have to go into ovens to be dried to kill off any insects that might be in there, reduce funguses and other things that might degrade the seeds, and then properly stored, cataloged, and then they go back out onto the beach at a later time. And we have now become our own seed source with these projects, and we're trying to smartly make sure that we're making smart crosses or not making crosses between sites on purpose. Next slide. Does it take some gear to get this work done? It indeed does. So that, you know, is a 60-foot ship pulling up. This is just two of the staff and maybe a third of the gear that went onto that boat over the course of for a day's activities. Getting things out there onto the ocean floor. Next slide, please.
So, Tom, just mm-hmm. I wanted to mention something.
Please.
Do you have, I guess, I know you were basically highlighting some of the examples, but now are you going to cover in your slides the current goals versus what you're proposing, six? Can we maybe, in light of, we do have public comment.
Yep, and sure.
Because I think we get a flavor in terms of the first item in terms of what we're looking for. But can we, I do want to bring that to the attention of the board so they can get an idea.
Absolutely. We can get moving here. Thank you, Martha. Mm-hmm. If we can get back to those slides. Thanks, Luke. All right, so just speed it up. Here we are. That's education and outreach. All right, keep going. As I said, we're engaged in a lot of fabrication and building out this equipment and developing and testing methods. So here's our draft CCMP goals, which I've seen now a few times and showing you what those actions. We did not get into the activity level. There are 43 activities that are currently drafted because I felt that would really take forever. But hopefully you can find an area within one of these goals that's of particular interest and take your respective dive into it. If we go to the next slide, I think we're going to see the 2018, there we are. Okay. So, enhancing and improving ecosystems of Santa Monica Bay and its watershed. You know, how do we do that? We do that through improving water availability, through improving water quality. We do that through habitat restoration. We do that through awareness and community engagement. I don't know how to bifurcate those things. They end up being too interrelated in this old structure, which is why we said, never mind, here's where restoration takes place. And here's biodiversity enhancement. And that's cleaning that one up, per se. Thought that water quality and availability, especially the way that this region views that, are now very well integrated in my thinking. Mm-hmm. Others might feel differently. But between the Safe Clean Water Program, Pure Water Program, the efforts at Las Virgenes, the folks at West Basin, right? We're trying not to waste water. We're trying to recover water and make best use of it while improving the quality of the water around us in our community. So felt that those two, which were distinct goals, smartly merged. And that way, when I, a member of the public, say, oh, what are you guys doing with pure water? It's under a proper context, goal-wise. Am I getting to your
question? Yeah, no. I think if I look at these goals, like the first one is captured in what you propose. The next one, can we, I guess I can't see the improving water quality and availability got combined into one. So that's still there. Mm-hmm. Enhancing socioeconomic benefits to the public. That's, I guess if I'm looking literally, and I see enhanced public engagement and education. So I think you do have that, right? Community engagement and education. Then there's mitigate impacts of increased resiliency to climate change. I think that one is now part of the last bullet in the proposed.
That one falls into a couple different places, but when we are specifically undertaking efforts to deal with recurring extreme weather events, that can be technical collaboration and policy support. Hey, we've been doing this. Maybe you should try the same. It could also be specific restoration activities that we're undertaking that would have those benefits. Mm-hmm. The monitoring is also a very key point. If you remember that long list of warmer water, warmer winters, warmer summers.
And that was in the previous, and improving monitoring and ability to, that's in our current plan.
Correct.
Our current plan says improving monitoring and ability. So I think what we're looking at is, instead of mitigating impacts of increased resiliency to climate change, I mean, the one closest to it is extreme events and emergency response preparation. So this can encapsulate climate, fire-related event. I mean, things that can impact our bay, right? Is that the...
I think that that's correct. And we had some activities under six that... then moved under four as monitoring the ocean, measuring temperature, other physical, chemical properties. Maybe it's related to a recurring extreme weather event, or maybe it's not.
Okay.
Or I won't find out until the recurring extreme weather event starts to manifest and becoming recurring. So we struggled with exactly where to put
that. Okay, so I just wanted to highlight to you all kind of how I'm looking at it. And this is where, you know, when you don't see them side by side, you know, it's kind of a little bit more difficult. But so it's in terms of enhancing socioeconomic benefits to the public, are we going to do that as part of our enhancement in community engagement and education?
Sorry, I turned off my mic. That is our expectation.
Okay.
That's where we see it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can explicitly somehow say that a little more. I've often heard it said workforce development, like community engagement, education, workforce development. Of course, it would be related to the Bay, but I just don't think we're capturing that.
I think once you see the document, you can see what they have in there, and then please give us input on that too.
That's fine if we have specific actions.
Yes,
about
and
it,
I think that's where the draft does include that. And so please look at it and give us input. And in time of, I mean, I want to be respectful of your time. How much many more slides do you have?
I don't think I need to share any more slides with you, but I do have a couple editorials that I just wanted to quick share. And Susie, I think workforce development is an intention. And if it's not captured to your satisfaction there, or you think it needs to move around again, please. Again, just what we were trying to have a publicly friendly document. The input I've asked for you guys are giving it today, and we're still going to need it. Trying to make sure that we're directly relatable to the guidance in the 320 Act and the Protect and Restore America's Estuaries is important. The plan, as we'll see, hopefully translates very readily to annual work plan development, far easier than I think the 2018 version does. Some of the actions there was a fair number of examples of this in the 2018 action plan, where they were clustered: assessing and restoring seagrass habitats. Assessing seagrass habitats, restoring seagrass habitats are very different things. they're not the same. And asking us to do both under one action made it difficult to track and display progress independent one from another. The water quality folks, the previous one, number 20, eliminating on-site wastewater treatment system non-point pollution. That sounds great. Reducing? Eliminating sounds like a very interesting term there. Maybe an aspirational target that is not so realistic. So then, you know, what does it mean to, you know, stepwise make reductions and limit that? And that's, you know, just another example of some of the specific as to how this new plan hopefully resolves some of those in its language and its structure.
Thank you, Tom. So maybe before we get to member comments, let's hear public comment, and then that way we can have a better dialogue. Luke?
Thank you, Chair. Moving on to public comment on this item, we have four requests for public comment. I'll hand it over to Cindy to call on folks.
The first request for comment comes from Michael Fujimori.
You should be allowed to talk now, Michael. Michael, you should be allowed to speak. Let me know if you're there.
Hello. Okay. Oh, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, sorry. I didn't push the button. Anyway, good morning. I'm calling to ask the commission before voting for item number 4. To please change page 28 to align with the motion this board adopted earlier this year concerning the bio and the wetlands. The milestone should be removed and instead replaced with A, to encourage the CDFW and State Lands Commission to begin regular stakeholder meetings so the land and wildlife will be protected. B, because several rare and endangered species have returned to the wetland since the last survey, please fund and begin new surveys. C, ask the LA County Natural History Museum, who conducted the comprehensive 1980 survey, to help support the new survey as they include insects and pollinating bees. They can also help identify which rare species can be recovered at Biona by reaching out to the wildlife and plant experts at CDFW. So, let's use their expertise and knowledge. And, also, please refer to the Gentle Restoration Plan on defendbiondthewetlands.org for more common sense solutions on how we can preserve this precious resource. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
The next comment is from Annie Abram.
Annie is not online.
Perfect. Moving on to the next comment request from Patricia McPherson.
Patricia, you should be allowed, you should now have the ability to speak.
I am here. Annie is here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Patricia McPherson. Are you ready for my comment? Please don't take my time until I know. I only have 3 minutes. Please put back my time. Thank you.
Patricia, can you also call on Annie, please? Annie is here.
We will take Patricia's comment first and then move on to Annie. Patricia, you still have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Patricia McPherson, Grassroots Coalition. A few questions first. I'd like to know, Tom Ford, you mentioned that SCWRP was putting together a report regarding wetlands. The report that was done for the FEIR for CDFW, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, was done under a contract to only look at estuarine. Their definition of estuarine is tidal, saltwater. I do not want to see a report again from SCWRP that is contracted to do tidal saltwater intrusion. The other thing is, of the 16... abalone that you spotted, did you have to kill one in order to get the tissue sample that you discussed? The other thing is, Biona, let's start at the top here to strike out, reconnect wetlands to tidal channels. Biona is a freshwater-driven ecosystem, as now acknowledged by the Department of Water Resources under the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. I notice that you have no mention of the Department of Water Resources. You have no mention of Biona being a groundwater-dependent ecosystem. The Department of Water Resources had provided a list of required hydrology studies that have never been done to protect Biona's high freshwater table and its freshwater aquifers, which are classified by the Water Board as drinking water and potential drinking water. The NEP Biona grant, I believe, is ineligible. Trump has already taken away 55% of the monies, but it would be ineligible because we have members of this group, including you, Tom, that were part of the illegal drainage of Biona. That action is still ongoing with CDFW still asking for more extensions. They have not completed the removal of those drainage systems. And it is, according to the grants, it's ineligible if money is going to fix, to undo violations. And in this case, it would be a violation of the Coastal Act for draining Biona wetlands. I have questions with Public Works. We have a broken tide gate down at the far west end that has not been fixed. It's a one-way gate only that drains the fresh water from Biona. We have water that has been restored to Biona through the Water Board, through rescinding Playa Vista permits for dewatering and sending it to the LA sanitation. We have a class action lawsuit now that is ongoing regarding the oil field gases that are rising in Playa Vista. This all has to do with dewatering of the site. I'm sorry, we only are given 3 minutes when so much of this time has been wasted.
Thank you, Patricia. Moving on, I believe we do have Annie online.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you for having us speak today. I'm speaking on item 4. The milestone of Biona wetlands item should be removed and replaced with these items. A, which is to encourage the state CDFW and state lands commission, the two landowners, to begin regular stakeholder meetings so that the land can be better managed and wildlife and lands can be protected likewise. B, funds should begin to baseline baseline surveys, since several rare and endangered species had returned back to Biona since the last survey was completely more than dozens of years ago. C, seek out support from LA County Natural History Museum for the new survey, since it was the 1980s when the complete survey were undertaken on some of the most important animal populations and insects that, and as we now know how important and how threatened our pollinations are. So this is urgent. And it was LAC and NHM, which is Natural History Museum, that supervised and carried out that in 1980s survey. D, help identify which are the rare species could be removed at Biona and what their needs are. Reaching out to wildlife and plant population experts at CDFW and beyond. These are really important points that need to be added. And also, in addition to all this, please refer to Defend Biona Wetlands and check out Gentle Restoration Plan. This is truly urgent because we need, it has plenty of action items there, and we need to begin out, take out the industrial bulldozing out, which is harming the ecosystem and all the species, and in return, harming us all, harming our planet. At the Biona, this is all where these things can be happening. Thank you so much for allowing this chance, and please protect Biona. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Annie. Next, we have Walter Lamb. Can we please have 1 minute, 10 seconds? Walter, you should be allowed to speak.
Thank you. I'll start. So I'm on EPA's website right now. There's a page called Sources of Greenhouse Gas Emissions. It says greenhouse gases trap heat and make the planet warmer. Humid activities are responsible for almost all of the increase in greenhouse gases in the atmosphere over the last 150 years. So this talk of taking it out of the work plan is gaslighting. Tom, I'm sorry, you're part of the gaslighting. With regard to tribal engagement, you actually had a tribal leader come to many of your meetings, submit letters, written comments, speak remotely. Her name's Gabrielle Crow. My understanding is you've never followed up with her. And so that might be a good place to start if you're talking about tribal engagement. With regards to Biona, look, that project's dead. It's been dead for a long time. I know Heal the Bay knows it's dead. They've talked about the EIS. They know that the EIS is not forthcoming. But I guess for all of the things in the CCMP, go to the performance criteria. The 2018 CCMP has three performance criteria for Biona. None of them was even close to being met. That actually goes back to 2008. And then Action 28, which was the environmental justice action, I see no trace of that. I see no trace of workforce development. And I'll put this in more comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Walter. Those are all the public commenters we have.
Thank you. Thank you for all the public comment. Now, do we have any comments from, at this point, there's no action. This was an information item. This is the start of the public comment period. I think between Luke and Tom, they gave you highlights in terms of what we're looking at, and that one in terms of looking at the revisions, making sure that what's proposed reflects what we're doing. So any comments at this time from anyone? Dean?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to pull up page 28. That's activity 1.3.3 on the Biona Wetlands Ecological Reserve. I think that this description needs to be enhanced and the milestones enhanced so that we ensure that we are supporting all the different types of restoration that may or will happen in the Biona wetlands. This large-scale restoration project is far from ever even beginning or getting any funding. And so we need to, I think, make sure that in this plan we have established and focused on that resolution we passed in April that brings about some of these hand restorations and alternative restorations that we can go through in the Biona wetlands, and supporting those types of things, using the lead groups. I mean, this commission should be supporting all those things, and not just this large-scale restoration plan. For example, are we looking at getting some gentle restoration in part of the wetlands so we could reduce the 200 plus acres that may or may not ever happen down the road, which is labeled as the bulldozing. And then, of course, down on the milestones, it states installing public trails. I mean, we need those public trails, but are we waiting for this complete restoration to happen, or should we be doing things now? I assume this means putting in public trails now and not waiting for this full restoration that may never happen. And so I'd like to be able to figure out how we can get some input on that, whether, I could maybe work on getting some language change there, what the best way to put that all together. And then I did have a question on reconnecting wetland areas to tidal channels and improve hydraulic function. I'd like to know a little bit more about what that means. Is that what was being addressed by one speaker regarding freshwater salt, or are we beyond the fresh salt brackish issue, and is it related to improving hydraulic function and whatever that has to do with? So those are my comments on that.
Thank great. You. And I think Luke has made a note of that, and we can definitely address that.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else?
John? Could I just ask a question? Like, what is meant by improving hydraulic function in the tidal channels? Tom, do you have any input on that, or what do we mean by this? Reconnect.
Not a hydrologist.
reconnecting wetland areas to tidal channels and improve hydraulic function. What are we talking about here? Do you have any idea? I don't know.
We can get back to you on that sure that whatever we include is, you know, this is a public document,
sure,
so people need to understand what's in it. Yes, John.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the Commission staff for putting this draft together. Just being new to this role on the Commission, I just had a process question of when we are reviewing and providing feedback on this draft, is that going to our Commission staff members and for efficient, you know, dissemination and collaboration on these reviews, is there any other Commission members or other parties who should be included on that feedback?
Thank you for that question. Luke?
All comments should be directed to Commission staff. You are allowed to, of course, discuss things with collaborators. However, we do need to be conscious of forming a quorum in meetings such as that. But seeing as we have difficulty getting an in-person quorum here, may not have to worry about that, but just let staff know if you are planning on contacting a substantial number of folks that sit on the commission. But all comments should come to commission staff.
Warren?
Yes. Dovetailing on John's question, to be most helpful to staff, what dates should we be aiming for with our comments?
Initial substantial comments, again, going beyond comments that go beyond, changing names or including names or typo corrections, you know, substantive content comments about the document should be submitted by September 26th. That being said, that is not your final opportunity to submit comments. That's just to ensure that we have good discussion in October when we are considering extending that meeting to talk more about it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi. I wanted to first off acknowledge the 475 public comments that were received. The way that they were ranked showed a lot of thoughtfulness, and I thought that they were great, identified some great areas to look at. In terms of tribal engagement, as a start, we could start off our meetings with a land acknowledgement, which I don't believe we do. I mean, that's kind of just an easy, immediate thing that we could do. And we do have, as was noted, some relationships with some of the tribal leaders in the area. And we have some people we can go to pretty immediately. I also like the inclusion of the workforce development for underserved communities. And also, in terms of volunteerism, we should also be looking at partnerships with the California. We have a California Volunteers, a Department of California Volunteers that could be a good partner in resources. And there's a number of projects that they have under there. Some I'm just trying to look it up again now, but some that could be directly related to the work that we're doing here.
Thank you for that, Lauren. I will follow up with you after the meeting on okay. land acknowledgement and the volunteers.
Right, right. And just what I observed, just and I appreciated the comparison of the goals, the seven goals versus the six, seems to me, and I understand kind of reasoning and purposes of that, that the descriptions for the new six goals not only were combined, but they were not as descriptive as the some of the prior goals. Possibly to include more flexibility under those goals, I'm imagining. I think the descriptions of the seven prior goals resonated more with many around this table because they were more descriptive and inclusive of priorities. The new goals, in terms of the verbiage, don't go into as much detail. But I guess we'll have to look at really how these are all meted out in terms of activities and actions.
Thank you. Anyone else? I know we're almost at time here. Please, this is a work in progress. And I do think that maybe, Tom, if we can focus on, just the basics, just the goals, the changes, 2018, current, and then the actions, that Appendix A is a good start, but it needs to be more fleshed out. So maybe those could be things that are helpful to our members as they do their reviews. I think, and if Jenny can identify any other things that make it workable, but, we've got to balance to, being as transparent as possible. We are starting a public comment period, and typically with the public, that's the sort of information that needs to be brought forward. So with that, let's move on to, we have no closed session today. Are there any other member comments on issues that are not on the agenda at this time? Luke? Yes, who had?
I believe Warren had something he was saving for this.
Okay.
I don't want to steal Annalisa's thunder. Go ahead.
Two quick announcements from Heal the Bay. First, that Coastal Cleanup Day is coming up September 20th. Heal the Bay is the regional coordinator for the Los Angeles area, and we have over 70 sites planned for this year on that Saturday. So it's going to be a really big volunteer day. Folks can go to healthebay.org to find out more, find your site, register, come hang out. Pick up some trash with us. And then also just sharing that we are getting ready to release our annual beach report card and river report card that specifically looks at bacteria pollution at beaches. That's usually released earlier in the summer, but with the fires this year, that got delayed, but it will be available publicly by the end of next week.
Great. Thank you, Annalisa.
LA County Beaches and Harbors is proud to partner with Heal the Bay on the Dockweiler State Beach cleanup. So thank you so much for everybody who's supporting.
Awesome. Thank you. And Dean, do you have something?
Thank you. We had a major victory regarding commercialization on our beaches, and I just thought I'd let everyone know that the city of Hermosa Beach recently opposed a permit that the county had applied for to expand advertising signs on the lifeguard towers that increased the number and size of the current ones that were there. And in doing so, the county eventually withdrew that application. But also in pursuing that, I found out that the existing ones never had a permit to begin with. The ones have been up there for several years now. So now the beaches and harbors have been directed to remove all those signs except one on the back of the lifeguard tower, which is mostly just a sponsored thing. And I'm hoping that beaches and harbors can get moving to take
Chair, if I may.
Sure.
Just to point of clarification for the record, those lifeguard towers are owned by LA County Fire Department lifeguards. They are not owned by beaches and harbors. The advertising was being driven by the fire department. And there is an existing coastal development permit that they were asking to amend. So I just wanted to make sure that that's clear on the record.
Well, okay, that's not my understanding. They asked to amend it, and we found out there never was a coastal permit.
There's an existing coastal development permit.
Well, the existing one only allows one sign on the back of the tower. So, and that was back
Correct.
When beaches and harbors had jurisdiction over it.
Correct.
So it's just one sign on the back of the tower. And many have to come down and I stand corrected. It's the fire department that's responsible for removing the signs that are currently up on the
Okay, thank you.
The lifeguard towers. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Warren, for the clarification. So I guess at this point we're at time. The executive committee may meet September 18. I think there might be a scheduling issue there. I stand corrected. September 18 executive committee meeting is canceled, will be canceled. So we'll meet in November at the West Hollywood City Council chambers. And now our next governing board meeting is October 16 at 9:30 at the Hyperion Education Center. So with that, we can adjourn right at noon. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I hope you enjoy your rest of the summer. And of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to contact commission staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.